The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. In this edition of the podcast, we'll be looking ahead to Wednesday's racing. We've got cars from Catterick, Nottingham, Lingfield, evening meeting from Kempton Park, and an Irish meeting from Limerick as well. And you can hear all about them from 1:50 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Chris Pimlott, and Gary Capewell. But in the meantime, my name is Sam Norris, and I'm joined by Alex Dunn to look ahead to Wednesday's racing. How are you, Alex?
I'm very good, thank you, Sam. How are you?
Good stuff. Yeah. I'm not too bad. I thought we'd have one more day indulging ourselves with the Grand National talk for a bit. And this Aintree inquiry looks set to run. It's gone to a full BHA hearing now. And I read a good quote this morning from Barry Geraghty, who said, "If ever there was an example of a sledgehammer cracking a nut, then this was it." Do you agree with Geraghty there? Do you think the stewards were in the wrong, the jockeys?
I think that the key was that this is, of course, alluding to the Grand National and the fact that 39 of the 40 jockeys that took part have been or were asked to go and see the stewards following the race. That's because there was a bit of a melee at the start, shall we say.
Yes.
It's nothing we haven't seen before in the National. I think last year was a rare exception of them all going off well and being well-behaved, if you like. So I think the key was that I think they came in 6 seconds too early, which would have meant the race went off early, which, again, unprecedented. Usually you're talking the National going off 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes late. So, I think the assistant starter got knocked down as well.
Yeah.
There's a few things that you might think the stewards would want to look at, but calling all 39 jockeys in seemed a little bit excessive, and the jockeys have basically just gone, no, we're not having it. We're not. It's not necessary, perhaps. It was just as much your fault as it was ours. Now, maybe it's not the right way to go about it, in just sort of stubbornly refusing to go in, but who am I to comment on that? You know, it's up to them. It is rare. The fact that there's been talk of, I think, all 39 jockeys getting two-day bans over Easter,
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's something that needs to sort of, you just need to make a decision on it, draw a line under it, say, fine, that's that. Because it's souring what was a really good National. All horses and jockeys returned yep. safe and sound. You know, a lot of the things that people have been trying to change in recent years, changes that have been implemented, seem to be working. It's something that, to be honest, I'm already sick of hearing, and it's only, what, three or four days after the National.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I just think it's possibly a bit of a mountain out of a molehill. That's all I'll say.
I would be inclined to agree. As you said, we should draw a line under it, and we will draw a line under it now. And move on to some lighter news. Richard Hughes has targeted the Sandown meeting on the 25th of April to make his comeback. Obviously, had that fall at Maidan at the end of March. Good news for you to see Richard Hughes back in the saddle?
Definitely. Obviously, one of my favourite jockeys, and it's hard to find a punter that doesn't like him, to be honest, because he rides winners. No, he's a very good jockey. Good to see that he'll be back sooner rather than later. Of course, it's quite a shift. Having just spoken about the Grand National, we've got the Guineas coming up in just less than a month. So he'll be glad he's back for that, because he's got an interesting ride in the 2000 Guineas. Good to see him back. And obviously, in his absence, Ryan Moore's taken a lot of his rides and is really making hay. Looking like he's going to nick a healthy lead at the in the Jockeys' Championship. Ryan Moore riding out of his skin at the minute, so
yeah,
be very interesting to see the effect that has on Hughes when he comes back, whether Hughes is going to go for the Jockeys' title. But, like I said, be very good to have him back.
Yeah, and you touched on the Guineas there. Obviously, it's likely that Hughes is going to ride the unbeaten Tormore, who's currently 11-2 behind Australia at 2-1 and Kingman at 5-1 in the betting. Do you have any early picks for the Guineas, anti-post?
Well, not a pick as such, but Tormore has got every chance going there. But Aidan O'Brien's come out and said that Australia is possibly the best horse he's had, if not ever, for a very long time. And you know, you never know quite what to make of what Aidan O'Brien says, because sometimes he gets it bang on and sometimes he'll overhype a horse. I mean, the 2-1 on Australia could look huge if he romps it by 5 lengths, but it's a big if.
Yeah.
Also, I'd sort of temper that by saying Aidan O'Brien started the season in pretty wretched form, to be honest. Whether it's just he hasn't sent out his leading lights yet, that could be something to do with it. Maybe his horses just need in the run, but whereas other trainers in Ireland have hit the ground running, he hasn't as of yet. Obviously, we've still got a fair few weeks until the Guineas, so that's nothing to be worried about as such as yet. But that's something that you just want to keep half an eye on, just in case. Of course, that's the 2,000 Guineas. One thing I will say, if you could just get the price up for the 1,000 Guineas, Sam.
Yeah, sure.
There's a horse I do fancy in that, and that's Godolphin's Itimal. Won really, really well over in Maidan. Probably just over a month ago now. Raised many, many eyebrows. And I backed that for the 1,000 Guineas at double figure prices. And I don't think it is
very
anymore,
nice.
Is it?
No, he's not. He's into 8-1 now behind the 11-2 favourite Miss France and 7-1 about Tapestry. Yeah, you can get 8-1 about Itamal at the moment.
Yeah, I just think she really impressed me with the way that she won. And you've got Miss France at the head of affairs, who I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but believe was turned over in France over the weekend. So that's not to say that Miss France is a bad horse. She certainly isn't. But yeah, Itamal, even at 8-1 now, I think that could be pretty decent value.
Yep. Good stuff. We'll move on then to Wednesday's racing. And the first race that we're going to look at is the 3.20 from Catterick, which is a class 5 handicap over just about 1 mile and 6 furlongs. Walt Starling expecting to lead the betting here, won last time out at Catterick, but hasn't won anything under 2 miles in 4 years. Is this going to be a bit of a short trip for Walt Starling?
Possibly. Nice to see Catterick back on the flat. Obviously, we're just slowly getting into the swing of things. Of course, we had Doncaster in the William Hill Lincoln meeting. And then obviously you have the National, and just in the last few days, obviously we had Redcar on Monday, which I really very much enjoyed. I think, yeah, I was the only person that did. But no, being from around those parts, it is always nice to see Redcar back, and it helps if you can back a winner or two. Of course, we've got Pontefract on Tuesday. This has been recorded just prior to that. And of course, Catterick come back on Wednesday. So it's great to see, you know, the same sort of northern handicappers that come, because you know what you're going to get from them. You know. And it is tricky early on in the season because you don't know who'll need the run and who won't. But this race is interesting because you've got quite a few who have been campaigned over the winter over hurdles. You touched on Walt Starling there, Keith Reevely and Tom Eaves. The fact that you said hasn't won on anything, you know, less than 2 miles, suggests everything you need to know. You know, yeah, he stays. Former Richard Fye horse. And Walt Starling will be doing all of the best work late, if you like. And I think he's got a pretty good chance here, because it's not the strongest contest. I mean, what have you got to oppose him with? You've got Patavium, who bids for his 5th course win, does most of his winning around Catterick. He's getting on a bit, dual purpose, but a nice enough horse. And Edwin Chua, I think, could just be in a little bit of form. I backed one of his Fazza on Monday. Yeah. Interesting to see how Easy Terms gets on at Pontefract today. He's got another one in there as well, so keep an eye on that, because early on in the season it certainly does pay to follow trainers who've got their horses ready to go, because it could be that the best horse in the race just isn't fit.
Okay.
And may need the run, so keep an eye on that. What else did I look at here? I mean, Roselli's a nice enough horse, but coming back from a layoff and he's carrying quite a bit of weight here compared to the others. That'd be reason enough for me to oppose that one. Naburn could go close. Won a course and distance race here in decent enough style, but then came back here and was tailed off behind Toughness Dan on. Was really disappointing there. Pipe opened the last time at Suddle. third looks good, wasn't as good as it looks, if you like. I think it was beating 16 lengths or something. So a bit to prove with those. And then you've got the likes of Jan Smuts, Arashi, My Destination, Catalatino. They're all reasonably solid horses. They don't win very often. So yeah, it's a tricky enough race, but I think Watts Darling will probably take the beating here.
Okay, good stuff. We'll move on then to the 4:20 at Catterick, which is a class 5 handicap run over 7 furlongs. And we expect the market here to be led by the excellently named, in my opinion, Fleur Tile. Alexandra, Kollontai and the top weight Milkwood, all expected to be there or thereabouts at the sharp end of the race. Who do you like for this one, Alex?
Well, one of my favourite horses runs here, and that's Milkwood. And you'll be going, why on earth is that your favourite horse? It is yet to win a race. And it's purely because it's pretty unfashionable. John Davies is not a horse. He's certainly not a horse.
John Davies is not a horse. Can confirm that John Davies is not a horse.
Breaking news from the William Hill Racing Podcast, John Davies is not a horse. Milkwood is a horse trained by John Davies. And John Davies is not a trainer who is especially fashionable.
Okay.
And because of that, you get a bit of value about his horses. And Milkwood last year was so admirably consistent. And you look at a horse who has the record that he has, and, you know, second, third, 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 second, where his last five runs at the end of last season, you'd go, well, clearly doesn't want to win. There's an attitude problem there. He's not going past horses. But that's simply not true. He's running in good handicaps where he was overpriced, and running very, very good races, very solid races. Now, you do have the issue of the fact that he's creeping up the handicap as a result of those placed efforts, but I was really pleased with his reappearance at Doncaster. Finished eighth, but that was in a really competitive race, and he ran really well. Ran exactly as you'd want him to. He'll strip fitter for that, of course. But carrying top weight here, would you want to back a horse that is yet to win off top weight in a 15 runner handicap? Probably not. It's a poor race, but I'm gonna, my head's gonna roll my heart here, and I'm gonna oppose Milkwood. Even though he does drop into 60 to 75 company, I'm just going to oppose. But then the question is, what do you oppose with? Because it's not the strongest race. We've got Thistle and Two Roses, David O'Meara and Sam James, who'd have an each-way squeak, very much unexposed. Former Andrew Balding horse has only had the 6 runs and returns from a little bit of a break here. You know, that could have a whole lot of improvement. But I wasn't too taken by his performances towards the end of last year, and he's drawn right out in 13. So yes, unexposed, but possibly opposable. And of course, next to him, both in the handicap and in the draw, out in 14, is Beckermet, who is completely the opposite, fully exposed. Yep. You know exactly what you're getting. Now a 12-year-old, definitely on babysitting duty in this race. you know, it would be a shock if he could win. As grand horse as he is. You mentioned Flirteel, and Flirteel won the last two starts at the end of last season. They were both at Catterick, which, of course, you can't knock. Catterick's a track that, if you go well here, it pays to follow horses that do go well here.
Sure.
Because it is a rolling track, if you like, and the undulations don't suit every horse. So that would have to have a chance, but that's pretty markedly up in trip here to 7. You're not sure on that one. It's got a chance, definitely. But returning from a break, as high as it's ever been in the handicap, probably just about opposable. What else have we got? Old Man Clegg lost his form pretty badly last year, in fairness. But as a result of that, he's well handicapped. And if Mick Easterby's got him fit, from a 201-day layoff, it may have been that at the end of last season he just went, right, fair enough, you're not performing at the minute, so we'll put you away.
Yeah.
Freshen you up. If he can come back and show the form that he was showing a couple of years ago, he'd go very, in fact, well, he would win this. So I think Old Man Clegg is one that you've got to watch in the market, although he's not drawn especially well. But the selection is going to be Dolores Rocket for Kevin Ryan and Paul Mulrennan. Look, I said it pays to follow trainers in form at the start of the season. Kevin Ryan's chipping away nicely. He's had a few on the go over the winter who've been winning reasonably prolifically. I just think Dolores Rocket is pretty attractively handicapped. And if ready to go from a 128-day absence, I think it has got at least each way claims here. Paul Mulrennan on board can only be a positive thing. He's a fine jockey, obviously returning from injury, but I think last time out Dolores Rock, it did hang. That would be something I'd be wary of. That was at Wolverhampton. But with Morenin on board, I'll take Dolores Rocket to have a decent squeak in a very competitive 420. The only downside is we've only got the 15 runners.
Okay.
One more and we'd be able to get the four places. Yes. But, head ruling heart, I should say, opposing Milkwood with Dolores Rocket.
Okay, Dolores Rocket then in the 420 for Alex. Move on now to the final race that we're going to cover in this podcast, which is the 450 1 mile, 4 furlong contest, the Class 4 handicap, where we expect to see Satanic Beat, Gabriel Star and Grand Maestro round about the head of the betting. Who do you like for the 450, Alex?
Yeah, I think this is possibly the hardest race of the three that I'm going to look at. And I say that despite the fact that it's got, I think, the least runners. Yeah, just the 10 got a post for this one. So, you know, a mile and a half handicap with 10 runners, usually you'd say, good, I can find some each way value here. And I think that I can because it is open. But at the same time, I don't think you can rule any of them out. We'll go down them in numerical order, if you like. Gabriel Starr, consistent enough. Richard Fahey, David Nolan. You can't rule a Richard Fahey runner out, especially at the start of the season. His horses are always fit. And obviously this one with Marwan Kukash has got a chance, definitely, with the blinkers on. But was a bit disappointing last time at Wolverhampton, in fairness, and probably opposable here. Brigadoon hasn't been running that well of late. Would have to markedly improve on that to take a hand here. Satanic Beat is interesting. Made virtually all last time at Pontefract and stayed on well. That was over a mile, so up in trip. But I don't like Jed O'Keefe's yard as a rule. I wouldn't be mad keen to be jumping on those horses, but I was impressed last time with Satanic Beat. That one would have to enter calculations with Phil Makin on board. Baccalaureate's a fascinating runner, returning from a 234-day layoff for Sue Smith. A rare flat runner for her. Russ Kennemore takes the ride. Baccalaureate won, I remember, at Cheltenham in 2010. At 100-1. Obviously, that was over hurdles for Nigel Twiston Davies. And you thought, hang on, is this a horse going places? It just come over from France. Turns out, no, not a horse going places. Well, going to Catterick, in fact. Which probably wasn't on the agenda when winning at Cheltenham. If you'd have said to the horse, you know, in 4 years' time, you're going to be running around Catterick in a mile and a half handicap, I think he'd have gone, no, thanks. I'll pack it in now. But no, obviously, with Sue Smith, and that one is interesting, but I couldn't possibly tip it.
Yeah.
But one to just keep an eye on for maybe next time out or later on in the season. Sherman McCoy's a nice enough horse, but returning from a layoff, maybe just opposable, but I couldn't really put you off that one. Streets of New York for Brian Ellison, again, hard to ever fully go against an Ellison runner. St. Ignatius is consistent for Alan Bailey and Tim Clark. Grand Maestro, I was followed a fair bit last year. Disappointed me when I was at York in an apprentice handicap, but maybe didn't get the best ride that day. Is consistent. PJ McDonald on board for Ruth Carr. That one would have a chance if fit enough from 183 days off. Fly Solo, another one that's consistent, if you like. Swimbank and Curtis teaming up again. That one could go close, as could Pixie Cut, who's been campaigned over hurdles. So, you know, I've just gone through all of them there, and I think there's only one or two I've said confidently that I could dismiss. And that's a mark of how competitive this race is. There's question marks over every single horse. As such, it is a tricky betting proposition. If pushed, I think I'd probably go for Satanic Beat. Stamina may be a little bit of a doubt, but I just think that if he's allowed to get his own way out in front, whether or not he stays there is another matter, but I think Phil Makin will be able to reward each way punters, provided that Satanic Beat goes off at an each way price.
Okay, good stuff then. So if you could just spin us through your best three picks then for Catterick on Wednesday.
I certainly can. In the 3:20, I'm going to side with Walt Darling for Keith Reevely and Tom Eaves. In the 4:20, I'm going to oppose Milkwood for once. Although I certainly couldn't put you off back in Milkwood each way. Dolores Rocket is going to be a bit more of a speculative selection there. And in the 4:50, very tricky race, but I think I'd plump for Satanic Beat.
Okay, good stuff. There you go. The thoughts of Alex Dunn then on Wednesday's racing at Catterick. Hope you enjoy all the racing on Wednesday, Alex, and good luck with your selections.
Thank you, Tom.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.